What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer at the New York Stock Exchange. Faber's remote today. Final week of Q2. It'll be busy. PMIs, ISM, OPEC, Jobs Friday. We're going to watch some crypto, some infrastructure, pharma, even some good old-fashioned weekend box office. Our roadmap this morning begins with, though, the market records. S&P's trying to hold on to new highs, coming off its best week since February.
Plus, we've got Boeing under pressure this morning. The FAA signaling that the company will likely not receive certification for its 777X long-range aircraft until mid to late 2023, and that is at the earliest. And gene editing, it's arrived, guys. Researchers report positive results from the first in-human trial of a CRISPR-based treatment for a genetic nerve disorder. And Carl, those stocks, at least some of them, are soaring.
Yeah, Jim's hot to talk about that. Although this midway point of the year, Jim, is going to give us a chance to put the first half into some perspective, right?
It is. It's tough not to be bullish. I know that Mike Santoli had a good piece about how it's a choppy time, but I would come back and say there's no real earnings news. We do have some news that I think might stay hot, might still put some pressure on Jay Powell. But Jan Hatzius did a note about this weekend, very interesting, about that it's temporal. So, you know, we got that going. There's a lot of kind of extraneous news. You talked about the memes, CRISPR, that is very positive for highest growth. I don't know. It's, you know, because we have to do our own allocations, I took some money off the table just because of my age. I regret it. I mean, not because I'm going to live forever, but because, you know, darn it. I mean, I can't stand the fact that I got a little older, because this is one run. David, I've got to tell you, don't get old and stay long.
Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about that first part there, Jim. But, your point's a good one, although we do tell people to allocate appropriately for their age. Jim Stewart comes on all the time talking about things of that nature. And it's good advice, you know, even if it's tough to follow it.
It's funny you mention that, because Jim and I and his partner Benjamin were out at my summer at my new farm that I bought with Bitcoin. And all we could do was just talk about how, because we got older. Of course, he got younger. But as we got older, we had to start kind of questioning how much we own. Because we all have, issues where you don't want to have to get rich twice. But I got to tell you, Carl, this is one of the more buoyant markets I've ever seen. And as far as I'm concerned, taking money off the table is not advised right now.
It's actually a really interesting point, Jim, especially the way that growth is going to finish the first half with some momentum, up for the month, almost 5%.
Yes.
Values up less than 1. The market seems comfortable with the perceived rate of hikes, the idea that these price increases will fade over time, as you mentioned, Goldman reiterating, I think, year-end target on the 10-year, 195. All right, that's JPM, but same story.
Look, every time I want to go really bullish, something happens on the commodity side. The temperatures for corn, I mean, corn is like popping where you have it. So perhaps corn could be a new problem, just as we conquer the chip shortage, which I am telling you is coming to an end, which is great for autos. Steel, still flying. But iron ore come down a little. I think that, you know, paper stocks starting to move, but chemicals starting to go down a little. So my ultimate sign is that it is temporary, that Powell will win, that he wants to get wants to at least get to October when we see how well new jobs are created, whether jobs can be filled. Now, there are like there are dispute about the states that have let the expiration right. of the benefits. Some say that it's really allowed people to get jobs. I mean, I was with my manager this weekend from my bar, and he said, you know, we're all hoping in the restaurant industry that somehow, Carl, there will be more people who really want to go to work because everybody's shorthanded.
Yeah. Well, David, it's interesting. There is a good piece. I think it's in the Journal today looking at states where they have cut the supplemental, and we'll see whether or not that makes itself seen this Friday. But I think already B of A's at 800K, Morgan Stanley 620K.
Right.
So you would be looking at some, you know, if that comes true, some net acceleration from the prior month.
Yeah, well, yeah. You just mentioned the big numbers, and I saw that B of A number as well, the 800,000. Interesting, guys. I'm sure you both saw the different takes on the states. I think the New York Times had a different take than the Journal did, Carl, in terms of the same data, which is always fascinating. And then, you know, Jim, you talk about supply disruptions. We had a full screen up there in terms of the supply chain. That may run its course, but it doesn't mean that it isn't quite frustrating right now for a lot of businesses, because it is a mess out there, and it's across the board. You know, it's in dealing with so many different industries right now where there are significant disruptions in just getting goods into stores and goods to people.
Boy, Dave, you're so right. I read, too, the New York Times saying, hey, listen, no help, and the Journal saying help. But, David, this port issue, which we keep thinking has got to go away because, I mean, come on. I mean, can't you solve anything like this with technology? It is not stopping. Also, we should note, and I know Dr. Gottlieb talks about this, but, I mean, China's back with COVID. Russia's got a lot of COVID. Indonesia with COVID. So what's happened is when China has COVID, they shut things down. And you're talking about bringing in stuff for Christmas right now. I know the rails are being hurt by it. I know Union Pacific, my trust owns that. I'm concerned about ports. J.B. Hunt, positive note today, because we need truckers and they can raise rates. But, Carl, one of the things that just amazes me is there was something that the president said last week. People were asking about this, and he whispered, pay people more. And maybe that's what has to happen. You have to pay people more, and they will find a way to get truckers, find a way to do ports. But the president then in the same sentence, kind of in the same paragraph, then kind of ruined the infrastructure. It looks like it's back on. You had to watch the Sunday shows to see whether things were back on.
They did clean some of that up. But to your point, Jim, about the jobs number and infrastructure, I guess – I don't know. I mean, we were thinking that Q2 would come with a lot of margin commentary, you know, conference calls talking about price pressure. Nike, Darden, and FedEx all closed the week higher last week.
Yeah, I mean, look, the FedEx was really incredible. I mean, here we had a lot of people saying it wasn't a good number. And, David, I read every piece of research on FedEx, plus the conference call, where Fred Smith started, unfortunately, by saying, listen, we're having some labor issues. Then the rest is good. David, you have Darden. They have to hire more people. Now, you can claim that's last man standing. FedEx has unbelievable because of e-commerce. E-commerce is really solid. Up a lot of hiring. I come back and say these were companies that I thought were going to create a narrative that made you think that things had to get tough out there. They're not, David. These companies are passing it on. They are making a lot of money, and they are winners. And those are stocks that I want to own. Those, let's not forget, these are companies that have stocks. FedEx is going much higher. Okay, Darden is going much higher.
Well,
why?
You,
because they are winners in their categories.
Now, you'd question that move down initially in FedEx on Friday after the numbers.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're right to have done so, it appears, at least at this point. We'll see how Nike performs after that very strong session on Friday, responding, of course, to those blowout numbers. We've raised the questions in terms of their business in China. We went into that in detail on Friday, Jim. But you're right. Listen, these companies are doing quite well, despite what may be those so-called supply disruptions.
I was shocked that Nike could have all. Nike U.S. was the strongest of the areas. Now, Nike, you could have argued that there was weakness in China. There definitely was. But there was not a boycott. And that's what the shorts got wrong. No boycott. Carl, I'm not saying that U.S.-China result any good. No. I am saying that U.S.-China business, so far, not so bad. Because I had Kevin Johnson from Starbucks. They're by China, for China. It looks like that if you do a lot for the Chinese, your company is going to stay strong. I like that story.
Yeah. Well, speaking of all of that, Boeing is a story today. There's a couple different stories. The 777X long range, not likely to be certified by the FAA until mid to late 2023. That's according to a letter from an FAA official to Boeing obtained by CNBC, which details some of the technical issues that must be resolved before that aircraft is approved. Other stories, Jim, say the MAX, it's getting sticky, getting past China regulators. Although at the same time, United apparently is working on an order that would make history.
Blowout order. And that's good. I mean, United, that always shows you that things are wide open. I think we all, I never want to stop this war in 20 scenario. I mean, holy cow. No breakthrough at all with China for Boeing. None whatsoever. Want to make that really clear. David, no matter what, Boeing is claiming right now, and we listened to, obviously, to Phil on this, that all this that is involving the 777 was well known. What I always find, David, that's interesting is when I follow Boeing really, really close, and what was well known is not known by me. So maybe it's well known by the CEO. Who is it well known by? If it's not well known, maybe Phil, maybe not. I mean, I got to think it's a close-knit people, right? Close-knit group where it's well known.
Well, Jim, as somebody who follows you closely, given I typically am actually physically close to you as well, you've changed your tune on Boeing lately, and you seem to be, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I'll let you speak after this, but you do seem to be concerned about execution at the company, and I've heard you be critical of management in a way that I hadn't until very recently.
That's very true. CFO leaving, Greg Smith, I think he was a very operational CFO. Waiting for Calhoun to be able to say, okay, look, we've had some problems with unions, have some problems with something, because do you continually miss? Now, I know they can say, hey, the FAA doesn't like us because of the MAX. You know, like the FAA, what is it, like a, you know, a touchy-feely organization? I mean, look, if the plane is ready, it's ready. But the execution issues here are terrible. And I think that anyone who doesn't think that has got their eyes closed. Gary Kelly did say momentarily the execution issues weren't perfect there. But what bothers me is the lack of recognition by senior manager, by CEO. Huh? CEO saying, listen, we had a lot of problems. I want to hear we had a lot of problems. And we are going to get out of Chicago and we are going to go to the factory floor. I'm going to go to the factory floor until this is ready. I'm not seeing that. Maybe it is. But I am not seeing the kind of crisis management that I would be used to. So when I see 777 have a problem, and but the timeline is the same, I want to know why they didn't tell us, look, the FAA. Why do I have to learn from the FAA? Why don't I just learn from the company that, look, we got some issues? And the answer is blindside. I'm tired of being blindsided by a great American company.
It sounds, though, like you think it might be more in the comms area than actual execution.
I think maybe. There's comms, but there's also, I would love to be able to hear, all right, guys, here's where we are on all of our programs. And we have real problems in this program, but we're going to fix it. Carl, I think that's what a great American company does. And I'm not getting that.
All right. We will watch Boeing. It's going to be a mover at the open. When we come back, some gene editing news sparking a big rally in some biotech names. We've got some details on that. Got a lot of interesting calls today. Microsoft, Shopify, Tesla, AMC's a story on this box office weekend. And another suspension of GameStop out of Baird, as they say.
Oh, I love that. That was going to be my stop trading, for heaven's sake.
Throwing up their hands again. More Squawk on the Street from the New York Stock Exchange. Straight ahead.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Well, we've got some news this morning on the biotechnology front that you're taking a look at shares of Biogen. The House Oversight Committee announcing an investigation into the approval and pricing of Biogen's Alzheimer's drug. Jim and I were talking a bit about that last week. We'll get to that. But separately, we've also got a positive story, perhaps. Shares of Intellia Therapeutics, they are soaring. You can see that up 57%. This on news from the company and its partner Regeneron. They've announced positive results in a phase one. Still phase one, but it's a study of CRISPR-based gene editing, a treatment for a genetic nerve disorder, guys. CRISPR Therapeutics, you see, Editas Medicine, all up sharply. Regeneron, not quite as much. Jim, it's phase one, but it's a new, it's the first therapeutic use for gene editing for CRISPR, and certainly viewed as a potentially very positive development.
Yeah, look, this is great news because this is the technology. When we first realized that Moderna had an RNA technology that was incredible for us, and I think that the fact that it's phase one and yet they're still talking about it shows you that there's something very earlier. David, you know, these are Kathy Wood's stock. This is her. I mean, CRISPR, she is a visionary on this.
Yep.
It's obvious that this is something that is going to work. I know that there is no doubt that Regeneron's involved, but they don't want to take any credit for what's going on here. Carl, this could be the beginning of a whole, this is a very rare disease, but, you know, gene editing is the secret for the next generation.
Have you read Isaacson's book, Codebreaker?
No, it's good, isn't it?
All about how the personalities, as he does, delving into the lives of people who were making this new chapter of American medicine, global medicine.
You know what? You don't win the Nobel Prize for doing nothing. Right. That's one of the things I've learned. Just I'm early on that.
OK,
I'm early on that. Not unlike David, when you called me out on President Trump about to win the Nobel Prize for making the relations with North Korea, South Korea stabilized. I was early on that, too.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. Early and wrong, which is, you know, not necessarily something. That's, yeah. Doesn't happens with you. You know, Jim's talking about being early,
things,
though.
David.
You do. You take a shot. You're never one shy from taking a shot. You may be dead wrong, but you'll take a shot.
But that was a Ben Simmons shot.
You miss 100%, Jim, of the shots.
Ben Simmons and I have the same record from the free throw line when it came to that particular analysis.
Oh. Now, Chris Paul from the free throw line, that was a thing of beauty this weekend, right? What, 90%+? I don't know how that's a machine.
No, and then Faber's team. Actually, it's really much more Scott Wapner's team,
yes.
Milwaukee,
yes.
Coming through.
Yes.
David, you know these hedge funds that own teams? I mean, how do you
yes.
do that?
I'm aware of the ownership of Milwaukee. They're doing pretty well. And then Bomber's got the Clippers, and it's going okay.
I mean, David, how do you run a hedge fund and not own a pro team? What do we think about the hedge funds that don't own pro teams? Are they losers?
You hold your head down in shame. You hold your head in shame. Yeah.
Tepper owns the Panthers.
As a Mets fan,
I think he knows a couple of players. He knows the names.
Yes. I think Mr. Tepper. Same with Kraft, Jones,
As a Mets fan, I'm certainly very happy with the ownership of Mr. Cohen. Guys, before we go, let's get to the other part of what we mentioned there, which is Biogen, Jim. This prospect of the U.S. government through Medicare having to pay who knows how much money to cover $56,000 a year in treatment. I mean, you've got now some Democrats taking a look at the FDA and the decision making that went on there to approve the drug. But this could be very interesting as it moves forward, and perhaps an unwillingness on the part of some insurers to step up here as well as the U.S. government.
David, I deal with a number of the health insurers, health maintenance. They were so quick to point out that this ain't going to happen, that they're not paying this, and that it's outrageous, particularly because there's not a lot of proof that it works. So I think you're onto something. I think that this is all a bit of a pie in the sky. Carl, as much as we all want to take this, there's never been a long-range study, which is what you need, and they're not standing for it.
I mean, we had the news about the House committees, and then today RBC goes 400 to 354. Right. So there's a little skepticism.
Yes.
In.
And I think that skepticism is right. I think Eli Lilly stock is too high. It's good to take profits on that one because that's also that's a Me Too drug. They do the same thing. And I just have to tell you that when you see those price tags, I think that's a thing of the past. I think that there's going to be a lot of pushback. That's something that Congress is united on. Very rare.
We've been saying that for a long time.
But these prices, these prices just bankrupt the system. I mean, everybody, under the way that they are describing this drug, everybody in America would take it. Everyone in America, we can't. We can't afford it.
Right.
Country can't afford it. Right.
We're going to watch that, obviously. Pharma, a big story. Also on the COVID front, too, with some new news about whether or not we need a booster in the fall.
I know.
We'll get to that. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash, the opening bell, on this Monday morning on the final week of the first half of the year. Don't go away.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track. We care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
All right, 6.5 minutes before we get started with trading for this week. Let's get to our first Mad Dash as we count you down to that opening bell. Tesla had having a pretty good move lately, Jim, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. But Wedbush says that this is this China situation with the recall. Moment of truth, David. That's the term they use. 285,000 cars, safety on autopilot. By the way, Tony Saganegi comes out and says that the Tesla owners, he did a poll of 450 Tesla owners and still fervent supporters, but starting to think that, you know what, it's no longer rabid. No longer rabid. So, David, the moment of truth in China. Now, I personally think this is not the moment of truth. I think people like Tesla, but I just want to say that if Tesla survives the moment of truth call from Wedbush, then it's to the moon, YOLO.
Really? To the moon?
YOLO.
All right.
Yeah.
Still down on the year, as you point out. A Kathy Wood stock, along with some of those others that we mentioned earlier,
right,
in terms of gene editing. But still down, though, as I said, you know, a big rebound from its recent lows, Jim.
Yes, and I do think that it's largely regarded as the leader of highest growth, and it has a lot of followers. David, as you've correctly pointed out over and over again, this group, suddenly the high growth stocks, since the beginning of May, have been on fire. We don't talk about them enough. A lot of them, including David, a lot of the SPACs have made major comebacks based on nothing.
Good point. Well, we're going to be watching those names and a lot of others because we've got an opening bell, Jim, coming up right after this. Stay with us.
Virgin Galactic shares building on Friday's 39% gain. U.S. authorities, as you know, allowing the company to start carrying paying passengers to the edge of space. Today, Jim, it's Bernstein. They say, look, the market cap's too high unless the business goes bananas in the 2030s. But they also say it's a risky short.
Well, one of the things that's happened is there's still a lot of traditionalists who want to relate. David's going to love this, but he's at, what is he? He's at vacationing somewhere. The fundamentals have been completely divorced from the companies because the companies are kind of like, David, the companies are like Monopoly. I mean, you know, Virgin Galactic has gone from being Connecticut, I don't know, being Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, the railroad. What do you think? I mean, you know what I mean? It doesn't have anything to do with the business, and it just has to do with the trading card. Am I right, or do you get a different perspective up there wherever you are?
They are at least wherever I am. Yeah, don't you worry. I'll be back soon enough in person, right next to you, torturing you. Jim, come on. I mean, you know, they are going to be sending people into space. They got FAA approval to do so. Now, you want to talk about the fundamentals of the business underlying the stock price? Sure, we can. And perhaps when they actually start to do it and people see what the price is and how many people really have signed up and what orders look like, there can be a logical conversation about what it's worth. But right now, it's just, hey, they got approval. They're going to do it.
Well, but it's not like United Airlines. I mean, I think it's limited service, David. Right? I mean, it's not going to fly out of Newark every 10 seconds or anything, is it? Is that the plan?
Right. Not that I know of, Carl. No, not yet. Not yet.
But then again, when Beachbody's ringing the bell, anything can happen.
Yep. That is Beachbody at the big board celebrating an IPO today. The Beachbody company at the NASDAQ, it's Corvell Corporation. Bunch of moves on the Russell reconstitution from Friday, Jim. What should viewers know about that rebalancing?
Well, reconstitution? A lot of the meme stocks got more buying. What I thought was interesting was it didn't hurt the market. The week before, the rebalancing did hurt the market. This one didn't. There must be so much money coming into this market. This market is deluged, Carl, with money. And I used to talk about with David the over the transom money that would come in on Monday. I think it's back. People want to be in stocks. People don't want to be in CDs. They'll buy AMC because of it had a lot of people come this weekend, right? I mean, they had a big crowd for that.
Yeah. They just put out a press release a couple moments ago, David. 2 million people at locations in the United States between Thursday and Sunday. And we know that F9, our parent company's new sequel of the Fast and Furious franchise, 70 million box office. That's the biggest debut since COVID began.
Yeah, that's a big test right there. A lot of people have been focused on F9, given the strength of the franchise for so many years and how it would do, sort of setting a new bar here post-pandemic. And it did very well, as you point out. You know, we talked a lot about AMC's ability to sell stock, Jim, given the incredible rise in those shares. I don't know if you guys saw it. Carnival Cruise just hits the wires. They're also selling another $500 million worth of stock from time to time through at-the-market equity offerings, which, of course, is something we've seen. But we've talked so often, Jim, about the ability of companies, perhaps that we thought were in somewhat dire straits, to raise not just debt, but surprisingly so, equity in the capital markets throughout this very difficult period that they went through.
But, David, don't you find that it's interesting that no one talks about dilution? I mean, remember when you offer stock, there is dilution, unless maybe you offer stock and you, like AMC can offer stock and go buy back bonds that are selling at a fraction of par. But, David, in general, I used to think it's great when you sell stock in order to be able to stay in business. But if you ever have earnings, the earnings are really kind of knocked down considerably, David. I mean, but no one ever talks about that.
No, few people talk about dilution for some reason, or at least maybe there's a lack of understanding among some of the shareholder base in some of these names, Jim, as to exactly what it means.
Are you saying that perhaps the Wall Street Bets people, are you saying that they may not understand the concept of dilution? Are you saying that they're not studying with Buffett and Munger? Is that where you're going?
I think there's a great diversity of insight on that community, and I'm sure that there are people who are well aware of the dilution but feel like the ability to raise the money is going to be overall a positive for these companies. And then perhaps, Jim, there are people who are not quite as familiar with the term and or the idea of shares and earnings and how that actually works on a per-share basis, yes.
Carly does raise a good point. Diversity, what is diversity of understanding? He is such an ambassador. He must be at the. Are you like at the UN or at the White House, David, right now? I mean, you're a diplomat.
The house is
where are you in the city of St. James? What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm in a secret location, Jim, dealing with some yard issues. Yeah. So, what can I tell you?
But David, that's the hybrid model that everybody's living. It should be no different on television.
Exactly. That's right.
You got some things Jamie to take Dimon care of. This is why Jamie Dimon says you can work at home, right? I mean, who knows?
You're going to see me here, guys.
Did you get a deer tractor? I mean, are you mowing the lawn?
I may try. Could be the first and last time that you actually see me do that, Jim. Speaking of hybrid, we talk about it a lot, guys. What was it? UBS is going to let 2/3 of employees adopt permanent hybrid work.
Yeah,
I thought that was interesting, particularly in light of that in financial services, as we've discussed many times, at least some of the well-known names such as Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan. Have a different view. This is, I continue to believe this is an incredibly important business story as so many management teams try to figure out what to do post-pandemic how many days people should be coming in or not coming in, and what it's going to mean. They all say, well, people have been incredibly productive being at home. Okay. But there are other things that I think are harder to measure, Jim and Carl. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see over time the success of organizations that go with the hybrid model versus perhaps ones that are a bit more traditional, at least, in their thoughts about people in the office.
Right. And we're going to see some CCAR, some return of capital soon. Yep. I think Wells is going to be able to buy back as much as 13%. David, is it possible? Some people feel like this is a vacation when they're away. Do you think it's possible that at Credit Suisse they're having an intellectual vacation?
Credit Suisse, we're back to? Not UBS. I was talking about UBS, so this is the other name.
Oh, come on, that was like one of the funniest things I've ever said. If you were here, you'd be like
that
on the floor
laughing.
That was
very good. That was really good. You know, Credit Suisse has some real issues, Jim. I think it's fair to say that.
Well,
there's a drain of potential talent
there
as a result of the problems that they've had. I know, because of Archegos, because of the significant losses there. Because of that stock price that we're looking at right now.
And Jim's referring to this interview that the UBS chief gave to, I think, a Swiss newspaper, which he said he thought Archegos was a, quote, unique event.
Yes.
Well, it was unique. I've never seen anything quite like it. None of us really have. You know, it's funny. I think we still don't talk about it quite enough. I mean, the losses alone at UBS, right, exceeding more than $5 billion, but across Wall Street, over $10 billion. It's still hard to imagine as we sat there every day, of course, guys, talking about Viacom and Discovery and a couple of other stocks that we were less aware of and the lack of transparency. It's on the SEC's list. It's got to be another thing that Gensler's got to potentially deal with, the lack of transparency
right.
and the total return swap market and the fact that nobody had any idea that this one guy at his family office owned, what, 25% of Viacom, 25% of Discovery?
It's
the numbers
incredible.
Were incredible. The losses were incredible for Credit Suisse. And pointed to a lack of risk management there. And they've suffered as a result, in part because their best performers who can leave are at least considering doing so.
Right now, Viacom, David, continues to sneak up on heavy volume. It's up again another 73 cents. Now, we don't really know where the stock should have been because of what happened. But it does, it has definitely found a floor here. And what's Bob Bakish up to? Is he, because I have to be impressed that, with some of the things that he's doing. And are they going to give him free rein to do more? Or do you think people just say, you know what, this is the time to sell?
I don't know the answer to whether it's the time to sell or not, Jim. I think, listen, they're like so many of these companies focused to a large extent on their direct-to-consumer platform, Paramount Plus. And making certain decisions about content and waiting, frankly, for the back end of this year or even early next year to introduce a lot more content, given the delays that that COVID brought in terms of the ability to produce. But that's where the focus is right now, I think, for Viacom. You know, we can talk all we want about potential consolidation. Last week, that journal referenced the Comcast. But really, as far as I can tell at this point, they're much more focused on just trying to execute against that vision in terms of directing consumer, get those numbers up. Because as you well know, Jim, in particular, your focus on Disney of late, that is where so many investors in this sector are focused in terms of at least trying to determine who is going to succeed or not for the future.
Meanwhile, record high, as you can see on the S&P, record high NAS, Microsoft all-time high, and Jim, NVIDIA is really just a little more than $100 from that 900 target we keep talking about.
Right. In NVIDIA, there was some press over the weekend. They've gotten support of Marvell Technology, Broadcom, and MediaTek. That's a Taiwanese giant company, fabulous company, to be able to buy ARM. This is important because, David, you know, this is a real breaking of the ranks with companies that were opposed to this deal. China objection still important there, David?
Say that again, Jim. Sorry, I lost you for a second on audio.
Marvell, Broadcom, you know, Hock-Tan, and MediaTek are now saying, you know what, we like this deal. We have no problems with this deal. But there's still China to contend with. You know, if NVIDIA gets this, it could be game, set, match when it comes to even cell phones. What are you hearing about possible Chinese objection?
You know, Jim, there is still a big question. There is still a big question. Jim, in terms of their ability, sorry, guys, let me just, the old working from home thing. the ability of them to get approval from Sammer. You know, frankly, remember Analog Devices Maxim? You remember that deal? They're still waiting on that. That was quite some time ago.
Wow, so that's so non-strategic.
NVIDIA seems to be, I don't want to say alone, because obviously they've got some support now amongst their customers as well. But there are many people who continue to believe it's going to be a very difficult road for them, both in China and still in the UK, where we know the review has not been completed as of yet. Jim, and I know you're following it closely and believe
and
it will be a very strong deal,
you know,
should
that.
They actually be able to close it. But I would certainly say, at least in terms of speaking to people who follow these things closely, there are still a lot of doubts that they will be able to get to the finish line. But we'll have to wait and see.
I'm not betting against Jensen Huang. He's been too right. Carl, it was interesting to see these companies break ranks because these are nice variety of companies that are breaking. I had Marvell Tech on recently. You had Marvell and TechCheck.
Yep.
And you know they're competitive guys. I mean, by the way, that guy is like, he's like a quadrathlon. I mean, at one point, I swear to God, he could kill me with his two fingers. You know,
he Matt and Murphy. Strauss, you'd have no, you'd have
oh,
no,
no
chance.
Oh, no. Strauss, and Strauss does that by eating a lot of ostrich meat. But Marvell, all-time high here. And I just think these are very important. They could be the first dominoes of companies that favor this deal. I am with Jensen Huang. I think NVIDIA goes to 900. Yep. And by the way, NVIDIA the dog, thank you for all the well wishes. He's has very good. He's trained. He's 13 weeks and has
hey,
a proclivity to know
in?
What to do.
I
you know what? You know what I mean?
Keep those pictures coming, Jim.
We love
seeing his progress. I do want to ask you about energy. Oil's down almost a buck. Chevron dragging down the Dow. The sector's weak, even though these airstrikes last night.
I was surprised. But, boy, oil's been so hot, I don't want to bet against it. I thought that, you know, there is an OPEC meeting. I know that there is a level where the Saudis don't want oil to go to. Now, oil, it's getting harder and harder to drill in this country, harder and harder to build, to have pipe. But the Saudis don't want to see the rig count up. It's creeping up. The Saudis, David, the Saudis know that there is a level where we open the spigot in the Permian. So there is a level where the Saudis don't have any interest, and we're closing in on 2018 highs. What are you hearing? Because we know that if America comes back into play, well, I mean, you have enough money here to be able to both return capital to shareholders and drill. That's the nightmare for the Saudis.
I mean, listen, what I'm hearing, it's more what you're hearing. Where are we in the Permian in terms of where our highs were and where we are right now, Jim?
We're down 1.9 million barrels. 1.9 million barrels from our height. And that is strictly because these companies have decided to return capital. They have, Carl, I remember the late Aubrey McLennan bumped into his son the other day, and Aubrey was a friend of Mad Money. Late Aubrey McLennan always said that oil companies don't know how to do anything other than drill. He said there are other companies, if they recognize that they're putting out too much product, they stop, but not oil people. And for the first time, oil companies have religion. They've been holding back.
It's interesting. There's a couple stories on the wire today about shale companies not getting sloppy, right?
Right.
In the way that oil and I guess maybe hotels have been
hotels
historically,
too.
Right.
They know to build hotels and they know to drill. And I think the discipline that the oil companies are showing has allowed for this price to go up. I do think that Pioneer has been the leader in this. They've been acquiring with stock. But when you deal with some of these companies, I deal with Scott Sheffield. He's the dean now. The stock, I think, is very cheap. I would buy it at 160.
Right.
And I had been against the oil companies, but they've all kind of discovered the environment.
Yeah. Although, I mean, looking at those hotel prices a moment ago, some of this might be nervousness about the variant. Yes, in Europe especially.
I think so. I mean, I think that it turns out we don't know. I mean, look, I feel that I have Moderna. I feel like that. Maybe I got a couple of years going here before I need something.
Well, there's a story in the Times this morning, David, that some of these studies are now suggesting that the protection from the vaccine could last for years and that a booster in the fall is by no means assured.
Yeah, which would be great news, at least for Moderna and Pfizer, right? It's those two, of course, that have been the key. And yet at the same time, we've got the World Health Organization, Jim, recommending that even with a vaccine, that people wear masks when the, because of the Delta variant. It becomes, again, very confusing to sort of judge the level of caution that is being shared by some of the larger, you know, advisory bodies on health issues in the world and or in this country as well, given what we've gotten from the CDC over this last year.
Yeah, there is tremendous confusion. I mean, Carl, one of the things that Dr. Gottlieb's been saying is, look, we're okay. I feel very protected by this Moderna situation. And now, maybe it's because of where we live. I have not met, other than when I went to middle of Pennsylvania, I've not met anyone who's proud of not being vaccinated.
I can't imagine anybody who would have any regrets.
Yeah.
Any regrets. We're all in here mask-free on this floor today.
Right.
I would argue probably just about everybody who's in this building has been vaccinated.
Yep. And when you go to a restaurant now, it's pretty much business as normal. People are shaking hands. You know, Dr. Gottlieb did not shake hands before the pandemic. Now, there's a man with some surety about how germs are passed.
Yeah.
But, Carl, I find that when you go out here, the big issue is, can you get a table? Can you get a table? It's like, you need more pull to get it. David, you need pull to get a table in Chipotle.
Things are all out, man. Things are all out. There's no doubt
what
about that. You're right.
So on these new highs, Dow, as we said, getting dragged down by some travel and energy names. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Morning, Bob.
Good morning. Happy Monday, Carl. Good to see everybody. Last week of the first half, we got a new high in the S&P. We're up 2% this month, but not a lot of new highs. NVIDIA is one of the few ones. You get this when tech leads. For the month, tech's been leading. You get these stealthy rallies and the market moves forward. Market cap weighted S&P moves forward more than the equal weighted S&P. There you see energy down, but that's been the leader all month. I mean, energy stocks have had a great run this month. And there you see industrials and banks. There you see the cyclical sectors kind of falling down again. This rotation that we kept seeing, just take a look at what's going on for the month. Again, tech has been the leader. Come back. This has been the big comeback month, June, for tech stocks. Energy's leading, but it's only 2.5% of the S&P 500. It's not big enough to actually move the S&P around. Tech is, and you see the cyclical groups, the industrials and materials on top of banks, all notably lower. So there's that rotation from out of value and into the growth sectors. Under the market, we've got that tremendous rotation. Though we keep talking about that thematic tech also making a comeback in addition to big cap technology. So cloud computing, Cathie Wood's ARK innovation. In fact, all of the ARK funds up notably. Internet stocks, fintech, lithium and battery, all to the upside. Solar stocks are up 7 or 8%. So here's that rotation. These all got clobbered, notably in February, March, and large parts of April, all now back. So where are we right now? The global growth story is improving. That's the key story. We're sort of relaxed on inflation. I think the Fed's winning the argument for the moment. That could change. Peak everything remains the primary motif for the market. It's been a little sideways other than last week when we had a very good week. P.E. still pricey. We're 20 times 2022 earnings. That's, remember, folks, at 20 times, that's 10 to 12% earnings growth for 2022. The historic average earnings growth is around 6%. So it's going to be another great year, expectations at least, for 2022. It's going to be another great year. But there are risks. So the big risk to the market is that pricey multiple right now. So there's two things here that can affect that multiple. Number one, the Fed could be wrong on inflation. We could have a major problem. That would be a big issue. The multiple would drop on that. And we should have a sharper drop in growth than anticipated, particularly on earnings growth. So far, that's not happening. And that's why we're doing so well. If you look at the early reporters, the companies that report early, the Nikes, Adobe, Kroger, Lennar, Oracle, terrific earnings, all of them above expectation across the board. The only disappointment has been Nike. And Nike was a disappointment because it was in line. And the whisper numbers, they're back. Carl, have been much higher than expected for FedEx. So other than FedEx, everything, the early reporters have been outstanding. And remember something, earnings are still rising. Even last week, if you put them up, you can see the earnings rising for the third quarter and for the fourth quarter, Carl. And as long as those numbers keep holding up or even rising, the market's going to hold up. Carl, back to you.
Bob, thanks. We'll see you in a bit. Bob Pisani. Take a break here. We'll look at how treasuries are doing this morning. A busy week on the economic front. A lot of macros headed our way with the PMIs, the ISM, Jobs Friday. Yields are in the red, 10-year below 149. And we got that brief record high on the S&P, but the banks, energy, transports down 1%, having an impact. We're back in a moment.
B-
Bit of a volatile weekend for Bitcoin. Binance, big exchange, banned by regulators in the UK. But we're back above 34.2, almost a 5% gain for Bitcoin. We'll watch crypto at large. Dow's down 116. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
One of my favorite analysts is Mark Mahaney. He's at Evercore. And he puts out a piece today saying Oculus, virtual reality, actual needle mover, strategic importance. And that's one of the reasons why Facebook is moving. This is incredible, Carl, because I think a lot of people thought it was ever since 2014 was a throwaway. Nothing's a throwaway when it comes to Facebook. It's another reason to buy. So let's keep that in mind as you see that stock really breaking out.
Wow. Not quite an all-time high, but after Friday, but awfully close today on FB.
It's getting bigger and bigger market cap. I'm excited about tonight's guest. We have Etsy. They just bought the so-called Brazilian Etsy. It's the leader right now. It's one of the five top in the market today. And one of the things I really like about Etsy is that this is really the anti-mall, anti-Amazon to some degree. And, you know, those who have sold on it know, or those who have bought on it, we bought extensively on it for our bar and restaurant. You really, there's great follow through. Like, we bought all our beer taps at Longshoreman there from someone who made them in Germany, bought all our aprons who made them in Britain. It's a great marketplace. People should go there. And so now we got Brazil, 1.8 million people in Brazil, and tens of thousands of people who make crafts down there.
Wow, I definitely can't wait to see that tonight.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
We'll see
you
at 6.
Yes,
Mad Money, of course.
And maybe Dave will get that yard work done.
I can come back to work. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.